I don't know what you think about the resurrection of Jesus. A lot of people have tried to say, what a load of nonsense. Some people say it's like believing in fairies at the bottom of the garden. Now, you may not have heard of these three gentlemen. One was from the 18th century. His name was Gilbert West. He was a law student from Oxford University. The second one was from the 19th century. He was a Union general in the American Civil War, and his name was Lew Wallace. And the third one, Frank Morrison, was from the 20th century. Now, these were guys with big brains, okay? And they set out to disprove the resurrection. They said, I'm really annoyed and angry that a lot of my friends are becoming Christians. I am going to disprove this resurrection that came from the Iron Age. It's absolutely ridiculous and impossible. It's wishful thinking. It's make-belief invented by the early church. Now, this is what happened. All three of these men, as they studied the evidence for the resurrection, they became Christians. They met the living Jesus Christ. Gilbert West wrote a book with a rather long-winded title. It was called Observations on the History and Evidence of the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lew Wallace, the general, he ended up writing the novel Ben-Hur. Although that's only a novel, Christ appeared in it. And Lew Wallace became a true believer as he studied the evidence. And Frank Morrison, he ended up writing the book Who Moved the Stone, which has been a very important book, massively used to persuade people of the resurrection. So, if you want to become a Christian, just try and disprove the resurrection. Now, this man here, he was a Chief Justice of Britain. He sat as a judge on the Queen's Bench, and he said that no intelligent jury could fail to bring in a verdict that the resurrection story was true. This was Lord Charles Darling. Now, I say this just in case you maybe have friends that come to you, they roll their eyes and go, believing in the resurrection is like believing in fairies at the bottom of the garden. Don't be daft. How can anyone come back from the dead? Well, if you really study the evidence with an open mind, there is so much that accumulates and builds up that it convinced these kinds of people. But having said all that, some of you here today will have moments in your life, if you're a believer, where your faith gets really shaken. You know, maybe somebody dies who you love. You go to their funeral. You see the coffin and you think, really? How can a resurrection happen? Or maybe your faith gets shaken by a setback, a disappointment. Something breaks in your life. Your faith gets shaken like a tree with its leaves falling off. Well, although you may be tempted to think, oh, this resurrection, is it just wishful thinking? Well, I want to tell you that one of the major reasons Luke wrote his gospel is to reassure us. And the way Luke reassures you is in two ways. The first way is that he gives you a reliable record. This resurrection gospel story, if it was invented or cooked up or cunningly concocted, I don't think they would have made the disciples look so unbelieving. You see, Jesus had told the disciples on the third day he was going to rise from the dead. And the women, for example, who were part of those disciples, they had been told he's going to rise from the dead on the third day. They went to the tomb, and all they expected to find was a dead body. That's what it says. I don't think if this story was invented, the writer would have done that. Nor would he have written about the men. You know, the men, it says in this story, they thought the whole thing was a load of nonsense. If this story had been concocted by the early church to somehow gain control or power or influence over people, you would not include that the men, the apostles, thought it was a load of nonsense, a complete chronic failure to believe. Well, let's look at the behaviour of the women first. This is found in Luke 24, verses 1 to 3. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body. They were just looking for a dead body. They had no expectation that Jesus would rise from the dead. And in verse 4, it says, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. The word wondering used here means that they scratched their heads. They were puzzled, perplexed, confused. You know, where's the body? Now, surely we should have expected something a bit better from these women. They'd spent nearly 3 years with Jesus, some of them. And we know their names. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. We're told that in verse 10. So we know their names, right? These were real people. And we find out that they had been spending time with Jesus for the last 3 years. They'd seen his miracles. They'd heard him predict many times that he would come back from the dead. In fact, in Luke 8, verses 1 to 3, it says this about the women. The women had been cured of evil spirits. Look, it says, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, and many others. You see, these women they'd seen miraculous things done to them, even had demons cast out of them. These women had the best possible training to ever expect the resurrection. And yet, here they are, standing at the empty tomb, scratching their heads, going, huh? Do you see, this is real history. This is a real story you've got here, with real unbelieving people. Jesus had said to them umpteen times, on the third day, I'll rise again. It just went in one ear and out the other. It's a bit like you've got a teenager. You may have had a situation where you say, tidy your room, tidy your room, tidy up your room. And it goes in one ear and out the other. And this is exactly what happened with the disciples. Let's look at the men now. After the women had seen the angels and went to tell the men, look at this. In verse 11 it says, the apostles did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Now, would you invent that if you were trying to persuade people, if this was true? You know, I'm pretty sure that every time this verse got read out, maybe in the apostles' churches a few months later, they would have blushed. They would go, no, no, please don't read that verse about us. It's so embarrassing. We thought Jesus rising from the dead was a load of nonsense. Please don't read that verse. And I'm pretty sure that if in the apostles' churches there was a youth group, you know, the youth group would have turned around and said to these men, what was wrong with you guys? You were with Jesus for 3 years. Didn't you listen? What was wrong with you? Luke is reassuring us that he has given us an accurate, historical, reliable record, warts and all. Luke's story also highlights something about the natural human heart, that the human heart, without God's Holy Spirit, will always pick unbelief unless God comes by his Holy Spirit to help you believe. The second thing that Luke does to give reassurance to his readers is by telling us to remember God's words. You see, when the angels appeared to the women, they say this to them, he is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Please notice that once the angels had appeared, they didn't then do another miracle, a healing, like when one of those women got cured of evil spirits and diseases in Luke chapter 8. But what they say basically is, do you remember what he said to you? When the God of resurrection says something, it's true. It's going to happen. They were told to go back to God's word. Now, if you don't do this, when life overwhelms you, when things go wrong, when you go through uncertainty, if you ignore what God has said already, God's promises, God's word, you will be all over the place. Now, this theme of being prompted to remember God's words runs all the way through Luke chapter 24. It happens another three times in this chapter. Later on in chapter 24, there are two men, or possibly a man and a woman, who are walking along a road, and this is after the resurrection has happened. Now, they are confused, overwhelmed, and Jesus appears next to them on the road. And again, here, the risen Christ tells them to go back to God's words. He said, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And, beginning with the Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Now remember, this is the risen Christ himself standing next to them, and he also is saying, go back to the scriptures. You still also need this. Yes, I'm standing here next to you, but you need to go back to what has been promised. This theme of remembering God's words happens again in chapter 24, towards the end, when Jesus appears to a group of disciples in a closed room after the resurrection. Once he's appeared, which is miraculous, he then, however, doesn't do anything else that's particularly amazing or super cool, apart from eat something. But his main focus seems to be where he says this: "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled, what is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand what? A miracle? No. The scriptures. And then finally, in Luke 24, in verse 12, I want you to look at Peter. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, here, where it says Peter wondered, it's not the same word as was used when describing the women. It doesn't just mean he simply scratched his head, was perplexed or puzzled. The word used to describe him as wondering in verse 12 is a different word in the original language. What it actually means here about Peter is something like this: it began to dawn on him that maybe what Jesus had said had come true. Why was Peter perhaps slightly more believing at this point than the women had been earlier? Why was Peter slightly more open to what God had said? Well, I think it is because he had been forced earlier in his life to remember God's words. Because something had happened to Peter earlier in the gospel. He had denied the Lord three times. But before that, the Lord had spoken some words to him, telling him, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And after that, a rooster or a cockerel is going to crow three times." And this is exactly what happened. What the Lord said happened. What the Lord promised happened. Peter remembered the Lord's words. It says this in chapter 22 of Luke, verse 60 to 62. "The rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter." And this is the bit I'd like you to remember. It says, "Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him." You see, I think Peter was a bit more believing at the tomb, just slightly, because he had already gone through an experience where he had been forced to remember that when the Lord says something, it really does come true. I want to leave with you this encouragement today to always go back and remember God's words. I have three questions here for you. Question one: when someone's hungry, where do you send them? You send them to a table full of food. Question two, if someone's thirsty or dry, where do you send them? Where do you direct them? You direct them to a well or a water fountain. And thirdly, if someone is shaken in their faith, if things overwhelm them, if they need assurance that Jesus has given life beyond the grave and is raised from the dead, or maybe they need reconvincing that he is a God who does what he says, where do you send them? Where do you direct them? Not to the food table, not to the fountain, but to God's words. Remember God's promises when life feels uncertain. So a very big theme in Luke 24, as well as providing us with a reliable historical record, is this. You are told to remember God's words. Remember God's words. Go back to God's words. Don't ignore the Bible. This will help you when life gets rocky. And the truth is, Jesus really did rise on Easter Sunday. He promised it, he predicted it, he said it, and it is true. Our last slide says this, from Isaiah 66 verse 2. God says, I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts. And by the way, remember that Peter had become very humble after what had happened to him with the cockerel. The Lord does what he says. And in 66 verse 2 at the end, it goes on to say, to speak of those who tremble at my word. So, go to God's words. Don't think the Bible is a pack of lies. It is not. Christ indeed rose from the dead. And you have a future beyond this life. You have a future beyond the grave, secured for you at Easter. And your sins can be completely forgiven because Christ rose from the dead on Easter Day. You know, he died on the cross and rose from the dead. His resurrection is a clear signal that God the Father accepted his sacrifice for your sins. He validated the cross. He affirmed the cross. He endorsed the cross. He gave his thumbs up of approval to what Jesus did on the cross by taking away your sins and raising Jesus, his son, up from the dead. God raised Jesus on Easter Sunday. God is a God of resurrection who does what he says. Keep going back to the true God who keeps his word. Remember what the Lord says. The Lord bless you this Easter. In Jesus' name, Amen.